Hello and welcome back to the Bring 'Em It podcast.
Hi.
Hello.
I was thinking, I wonder if we are going to be worse at this or better because it's been a while, and that's like maybe a good thing. I don't know.
I think this will be the best one we've ever done.
I'm feeling really relaxed.
Yeah.
I'm feeling tense after that. Well, it's a joke. Anyway, but so we're 2024 Oscars, probably the least controversial in a while, based on some 100%. Of the conversations I've seen online. I think people were quite glad to see Oppenheimer do well, just because it was something that a lot of people had seen, rather than it just being like an Oscar bait, I suppose. Because mid-July, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It's just, is that really unusual for like a Best Picture winner?
They do
not be Oscar bait.
They do tend to scale them if they're Oscar bait, so they're close to the actual award ceremony. So I suppose maybe that's a little bit unusual.
They usually come out in like January, it's like December time, the proper Oscar bait
ones.
Yeah,
that's what I was thinking. In previous years, it feels like they've all been clumped in January. But was there any shockers, did anyone think? I suppose that's the big one, because it was fairly uncontroversial. But
like, I mean, the main shock, again, I haven't actually seen The Boy and the Heron, so I can't really speak that much on it. And I know Henry's probably not the most unbiased person when talking about Miyazaki films. So, but for me, I did think, like, Across the Spider-Verse was one of the best animated films I've ever seen.
Yeah, it was a better film.
That's what I thought. But it just seemed like the style. Did I do a video on it? I think I did a little bit of a video on it, and I said I can understand. It looks nice, and I really like the style of it.
Mm.
But it's just like this. The scale of the project just doesn't feel the same. The Spider-Verse, like, there's so much going on in each frame of Spider-Verse. It just seems like a bit of a mismatch.
Yeah,
almost. But
like, in terms of just pure animation, like, even if you're taking away other aspects of it, the animation in Across the Spider-Verse is mind-blowing.
Hmm.
Like, it's just every single thing you'd want to see in an animated film together.
That is probably the only stinker, to be honest, I thought.
Mm.
It's funny because I spent so much of my time just reading so much of the, like, so much outrage and just not really understanding it, which is, I don't think that's the usual for me. I was just kind of trying to calm people down. There were a lot of people I think should have been nominated. I actually did a post saying that my actual personal picks, none of them got nominated, which is kind of an over-exaggeration, but there's more truth in it than you'd think. I think Leo definitely should have got a nomination. He was definitely in top three, I thought.
Yeah. I think Andrew Scott should have.
Andrew Scott as well, yeah, I left him. For each category.
I understand why he wasn't, but I think Zac Efron should have been nominated.
Oh, yeah, Zac Efron should have. Yeah.
Cause
who are you kicking out of these nominees, though? Because there can only be five.
That is very true. I haven't seen myself.
I haven't seen Rustin, so I don't really know anything about that.
Yeah, I think
Coleman Domingo should have got a nomination for supporting actor in The Color Purple. I think he was very good. He played like a little bit of a villain, like a realistic villain, like a bit of a domestic abuser sort of type. And he's very good in that.
I saw a lot of films from 2023, and apparently I've only seen one of the leading actor films. I haven't seen American Fiction, Holdovers, Rustin, or Maestro.
I've seen two.
They bring out these films like they'll do like one showing at the places at the cinema I go to.
Yeah,
and always late as well. It's always like, Americans confess they're over it for a late 2023, and then you can have whatever's left. And it does wind me up.
In fairness, lads, Maestro's been on Netflix for about 3 months, so
I know.
That's what I just don't want to watch.
I fell for the negative PR. I really did. And I'm actually kind of ashamed. And also, it's long. And the long films, I struggle to get psyched up for.
Mm. I do like Bradley Cooper. I think he's a fantastic actor, and I think he should have won an Oscar by now. But from everything I've heard, it wasn't for this.
People go overboard with almost the hate for him, just because he said something like a little bit, maybe like a sly dig in an interview, saying, "Oh, it's not one of those where you get you know, you get called up for, after 6 months and then you just shoot. And then he was apparently just sliding at Cillian Murphy. I just think, to be honest, it might have just been a slip of the tongue. You might hold some resentment, but not really think about how easy it was to tie it into him. It just seems a bit much. But then everyone, you know, his chronically best, online syndrome again, isn't
his best performance of the year was in Dungeons and Dragons anyway. So,
oh, yeah, of course. but the other people, Kaylee Spaney, I think should have. I know, I don't think either of you saw Priscilla in the end. I'd recommend looking out for it because I thought it was very, very good, especially the first half.
Yeah.
So, so good because she goes from sort of like 14 to what, a 20 in the first half. And it's so interesting to see how she ages, just personality. Her person, like, you completely believe each sort of step of her age. And that's one actor playing that.
Yeah.
And I suppose it's done usually quite well by actors, and aging makeup is very good nowadays. But it's the best, most convincing I've seen it. I could barely believe they'd done the whole film in one shooting almost.
Mm.
But I was also going to mention Claire Foy as well, because we were on Claire a lot of Foy, strangers. Definitely.
And we saw it very early in the year. I think it was like March or something. But Alyssa Sutherland for Evil Dead Rise.
Oh, yeah.
People do not give horror films. I mean, it's the Oscars. They never fucking do. But they don't give any Oscars to horror films ever. They never will. They're like, oh, it's just low art. And I'm like, yeah, but that Alyssa Sutherland performance was one of the best performances I've ever seen in a horror film. So
didn't even get a mention in makeup, did it?
No.
What was it? Makeup and I've always forget the category because they're all different.
I think it's costume and makeup.
Costume design.
Yeah.
It's makeup and hairstyling.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
And poor things won. Probably rightfully, among the nominees.
Yeah.
But I mean, Oppenheimer getting in for makeup and hairstyling over something like Evil Dead.
I don't know. They sort of did capture the time pretty perfectly.
Yeah.
That has to take some.
Okay. Fine. But it just seems like, yeah.
Just looking at while we're talking about missed nominations, this is just one that I would have liked to see. Not so much thought I would have seen it, but Glenn Howerton in Blackberry. I thought for supporting role, I think he very easily could have been in there. Not that he would have or should have, but he was fantastic in that film.
He was very, very good. And I'd forgotten about him as well, to be fair. I think that was the first thing I've seen Glenn Howerton in.
I watched Poor Things yesterday. And I don't think in any way it was a bad performance from Mark Ruffalo. I think it was a good performance, but there was something with his accent that was just not working with me.
I think it was supposed to be spoofy, wasn't it?
They did that on purpose, yeah.
But like,
where he breaks character and starts laughing almost.
Yeah, but like every other accent in that film, like every other accent, Willem Dafoe was fantastic, Emma Stone was fantastic. I forget the guy's name. Rami Youssef. I thought he was English the entire film. I looked it up. He's from like a southern US state. Every other accent in that film was spot on. And then there were times when Mark Ruffalo was speaking. He was like, what are you talking about? Like, he would just say one word in like the strongest American accent. And again, if that was meant to be like that, fair enough. But they never really gave me a reason to think it was meant to be like that.
There's literally a bit after, I think she disappears for a bit, and he's like, Bella, where did you disappear to? And she goes, no one can disappear, that's not a possibility. And he starts laughing and goes, what the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah, that's a bit I'm thinking of when he's like... But
he stares at the camera. I'm pretty sure that was a blooper that they just left in because they thought it was funny.
Well, either way, fantastic performance from him. I would happily have Glenn Howerton in there over him for supporting role.
I tend to think with these nominations, they feel like not an arbitrary pick of the bunch, but just like you could replace a lot of people with a lot of other people. And it's only really worth mentioning when it's like a really big miss.
I feel like for the Oscars, they will look at a film and be like, oh, we can get best actor in this and we can get best director in this. And then a lot of the time they just go, I suppose we could always put this in this as well. Because they will like pick between like 10 films rather than just going, what is actually the best of the year? is it from this film? They'll be like, oh, we've already got a couple from Poor Things in there. Let's put a couple more from Poor Things in there.
Mm. Poor Things won a lot. I was watching the Oscars early on, and it won a lot of the early awards, like the smaller ones.
I mean,
I didn't hate. It just seemed like it. To be honest, I knew it was going to be a bit of a, not style over substance, but there was a lot of, it was very focused on it, on how strange it was. It was always going to get a lot of attention because of how strange it was.
You loved it though.
I did. Well, four and a half stars. I mean, you couldn't give it four stars because it just wasn't, it almost doesn't do it justice. It felt difficult to give it four stars because it didn't really do it. Just, everything was just so high individually. As a whole, I could say there were improvements, but I think in the end the story actually it worked quite a lot, which I was quite surprised by because I thought it was going to be quite shit. But in the end it was actually like her levels of maturity that were the imbalance in her personality was quite interesting.
Yeah. She was, she was absolutely fantastic in it. Like, fantastic. Yeah.
And deserving winner? I think we're going to, should we go through the main categories and just say whether we think it was all right? Starting with that.
We might as well. We're on it now.
Starting with best the leading actress.
I think deserving, not my pick though.
Yeah, I would have gone Lily Gladstone, I think.
I'd gone Sandra Hüller.
Sandra Hüller was mine, to be fair.
I think, again, it was Emma Stone's, it's a performance that deserves it, but it wouldn't have been my personal pick.
Yeah, Sandra Hüller was, if you can look out for that on stream, Rory, because that's not something I don't think you have to see on in cinema. Disney+. It's just a good film.
Oh, no, it's not. Sorry. Yeah. I thought we were still, I've got Poor Things on my mind.
It feels like TV that did a little bit. Like the level of writing, it felt like TV.
I think it's on Amazon Prime.
Oh, is it? Oh,
okay. I rented it on Amazon. It was like £4.
Oh, that's quite a strong category, isn't it? Looking at this, all of them.
I didn't see Carey Mulligan or edit.
I haven't seen.
It's Mulligan, ridiculous that I haven't seen some of these. Like the level of effort I go to see everything.
Luke Steggles was
some of them
was
we
telling
just
me that
don't get to see.
Was telling me that Carey Mulligan in Maestro is one of the best performances he's seen in a very long time. Said she was the standout of it. So
Carey Mulligan is fantastic. Ever since
I was
7 years old and watched that the Blink episode of Doctor Who, I was like, she's going to go far.
The Lily Gladstone anger, I found a bit odd because I think she was very good, but I also think it was one of those kind of grounded performances where you do get them quite often.
Mm.
You get her sort of, and to be fair, a lot of why I think she, like, I enjoyed it at the time was because I hadn't seen her in a lot else. So it was quite surprising to see her perform so well, considering I didn't know her reputation. Mm. But some of the anger around it is just so, like, it's so Twitter, it's so weird.
I feel like a lot of the anger is because people like her, and people are like, she should have had it. But I'm like, her performance is amazing, but is it the best of the year?
It's like
The context of the role helps her as well, because it's not a story that I don't think it's not a story that's been shown on screen very often.
Yeah.
I don't think I knew anything about the Native Americans of that area and the sort of riches they had behind them. And she just portrays such like a,
she did it
a strong, but also faulted woman in it.
Yeah.
Mm.
Like, so it's a very reserved performance.
Yeah.
Not a lot of hysteria for that one from us anyway.
Again, I would have been happy with most of them winning. Very like, I think this is a good year for nominations in general.
In terms of actress in a supporting, it's going to be a difficult one for us because I think there's a couple here that I've seen. I don't think either of you have. Maybe.
I've seen two of them.
Yeah, I've seen.
I haven't seen Color Purple, Naiad, or The Holdovers yet. Although I was going to watch The Holdovers, I would have.
It's getting a couple of showings this week.
Was Divine good in it?
I think that's probably maybe my first or second choice of the nominees. Fair. Danielle Brooks was very fun as well. It was actually surprising to see. I watched that and I didn't know who she was.
Mm.
As in, I probably saw that nominee and then I watched The Color Purple and I didn't put two and two together. And then I saw she was nominated and I was like, oh, wow, they actually did that. Okay, that's cool. because she was very good and very fun and charismatic. And usually those performances are just like the Academy just don't give a shit.
Yeah.
But it, yeah, I was quite glad they put Danielle Brooks forward.
Nice.
Don't you think it's odd that Emily Blunt, as good as she was in Oppenheimer, she sort of got that nomination off the strength of one scene. And
I think so. Yeah, I
feel like that's. I feel like that's a lot of Oscar nominations in general. Like, I think Brendan Fraser won his Oscar from one scene.
Then people argue a lot with that. People do say
he was good throughout the film. Though, he was
good.
He not?
Yeah, but like Emily Blunt was good throughout the film. There was that one scene that people were like, "Oh my god."
He had a lot. He was the leading actor in that film. Emily Blunt.
And she's
was
a supporting actress.
Yeah,
I think most of what Emily Blunt did, if you were to do a supercut of all her scenes, it would just be kind of like resentful stares.
Mm. But they were good resentful stares.
They were, but there's just so many more. I think there's so many more deserving people.
If we're gonna do off the strength of one scene, then I think Jamie Bell from All of Us Strangers should have got a nomination for that one scene in the living room.
And Claire Foy for the bedroom scene.
Honestly, most of the actors in that film, I would have been happy to see get nominations.
And instead it got zero.
Yeah.
That was a travesty.
Yeah. Zero is ridiculous. It's like After Sun all over again, getting one nomination.
It is. It literally is. And it starts to get to me, like how little, you know, attention is put on some of these.
Yeah.
And it was in America before the UK. It's a UK film.
Yeah.
It got nominations elsewhere. Oscars aren't the be all end all in the nomination.
Did it win
in,
like, the award?
I think it did.
Probably.
Right, okay.
At least one, I hope.
In terms of the blokes, then.
Killian Murphy. Actor or some, oh.
Just go main because we did that for the actresses. I think that probably. Killian Murphy probably makes sense.
I
think.
Since I watched that film, I was like, it's him. Him.
Yeah.
It was just so good.
I think if you put a gun to my head between him and Leo, I'd have probably gone Leo. Leo's not nominated, so it's not a debate I can have.
Even if Leo was nominated, I think I would have gone for Killian.
Yeah, well, I can't argue with that a lot because I think he was very good.
I don't think I've seen a leading actor win this universally liked in years.
Mm.
Like everyone I saw was just like, yep, him, he should win it, and I hope he does.
I do think part of that is that I don't think the nominees were amazing.
Yeah.
From what I see, because I mean, I didn't see Bradley Cooper, Fair Play, and I like Common Domingo. I didn't see that film. I think a lot of people didn't, unfortunately, because I've heard it's not the best film.
I haven't. I haven't seen it shown anywhere. I've checked I've checked Everyman and Odeon. Didn't see a single showing for it at all, and it's not on streaming, as far as I can see.
But Paul Giamatti was good, but. You know, it's got that little sub crowd of people that are acting like it's like the best performance, and it's just not.
Mm.
It's just a very good performance, but it's nothing you'd ever rave about in an award ceremony.
Yeah,
I don't think. Rory, because I haven't asked about Rory about American Fiction because he watched it last night. I thought Jeffrey Wright was an odd pick for the best actors.
He was good, but that film
he was good.
It wasn't anything that new, to be honest. I feel like it fell into the crowd of sort of Get Out and films like that.
Mm.
And like there was funny moments in it, and there's some interesting comments on stereotyping in America. And he was good. Like, he was funny, he was entertaining. But I didn't feel like it was Oscar worthy.
Mm.
Yeah. It just seemed like it was like out of pocket, like it had been ran like a raffle.
Yeah.
Because it was among those like good performances of the year, but nothing like insane. And I think, to be fair, so I'll briefly touch on actor and supporting role. Sterling K. Brown, probably the stronger.
Huh? That baffled me a bit, to be honest, him getting a supporting role one as well.
Oh, really? I really liked him.
I thought he was good. But again, I didn't think he was like...
It was a very small role. He didn't get a lot of screen time. But then I think in the time he had, I thought he was standout in that. If I had to pick out someone... With the time they had, I'd have probably picked him out. So I quite like that.
Mm.
Probably wouldn't have picked him, but...
Did you think RDJ deserved it?
Probably.
Him or De Niro,
I would have probably...
Not
De Niro. I might have erred towards De Niro,
to be honest.
I didn't think it was like... I don't know. I don't really know how to put it. It didn't blow my mind. Robert De Niro.
I think I liked that film tad more than you. So yeah. I'm like rooting for it.
It just felt like De Niro. It didn't feel like a character. It felt like him playing a lot of the same villains he has elsewhere. Like the mix of charm and you know undertones of "I will kill you." Kind of, I've just seen it in like a few of his films, and I'm not sure if it's like that special anymore for me.
Mm. Fair enough.
To be honest, I liked Ryan Gosling. If Ryan Gosling had won,
I'd
have probably been annoyed at people, but I'd have liked it.
Yeah, fair. Yeah. Well, he was good
because it was really funny.
You were going to say Sublime, weren't you? Like he's
Sublime. I was, you know, I was going to say Sublime. So where did that word come from? There's so many adjectives. I chose Sublime. What was that? No, honestly, I think it was probably the most memorable performance there.
Yeah,
I mean Robert Downey Jr. You know, again, that was definitely a one scene, wasn't it? He was good throughout, but it was the scene that. Will people remember?
It's another one where he's not actually in it that much.
I wonder. I don't know. I wonder how much screen time. I suppose because you probably forget.
He's got in so more many flashbacks. Screen time than Emily Blunt.
It was in long stretches, wasn't it? It was less minutes, but long stretches.
He's got his own story to the side of Oppenheimer's, so that's probably why he sort of comes to the forefront.
You've seen people get angry that he ignored... what was the guy from
Ikwe Kwan?
Yeah, that people got annoyed that he ignored, like he just took the award off him without shaking his hand. Which seem rude, but then at the same time, I think you can kind of forgive people for forgetting themselves when they're winning their first Oscar with their first nomination. I feel like that can happen.
It wasn't his first nomination,
isn't it?
He's been nominated twice before.
Who am I thinking of? It's Cillian Murphy. That's what I was thinking of.
Cillian Murphy, yeah. RDJ got nominated for Tropic Thunder, and I think the one where he played Churchill.
Really?
Yeah. Okay.
He didn't play Churchill, that was Gary Oldman.
Not Churchill. Who am I thinking of?
I don't know.
Chaplin?
Yeah, that's it. I knew it was a...
I think he probably should have got some a nomination for Zodiac, but then I don't know what the nominees were that year.
He's going to be the last ever actor nominated for a performance where they use blackface, isn't he?
Probably.
I think
unless everything changes. So moving down the categories, I mean, director? We've already talked about director. I thought Scorsese should have won that.
The middle three. I wouldn't. I don't even know if you're looking at the same list as me. But Scorsese, Nolan, or Yorgos Lanthimos, I would have been happy with either three of them.
Haven't
seen The Zone of Interest yet, and Anatomy of the Fall. I think fantastic film. Not sure the directing is the best part of it.
I find it sometimes tricky to know. I feel like we're blindsided a bit here because you see an actor do very, very well, and I don't know. Actually know how much of it, in terms of teamwork, how much of it is the spectacular actor and how much of it is the director. For instance, the main example I always use is Sam Levinson.
Yeah,
I think Sam Levinson got a lot out of his actors for Euphoria, and that was the first time I really thought about it. Actually, I think that was like so weighted into directors why the series is so good, as well as talented actors. But it's sometimes really, really hard to pin it. But then I think With Scorsese films, I just tend to think every actor in it is really good all the time. So it's just that sort of run of... I think something I did in my... Something I mentioned in a review I did recently is that if you were to pick out any actor that's been in a Scorsese film, one of their best performances is in the Scorsese film they're in, if you know what I mean.
Fair.
I just tend to think he probably should get credit for that.
There's some very memorable set pieces in Killers of a Flower Moon as well.
Yeah.
I mean,
got cameo as well.
For who he is, the fact that he has very little to his name in terms of Oscars is ludicrous.
I don't think the Academy likes him that much, do they?
If they don't...
Because you diss Marvel, although that makes no sense because Marvel
Academy
don't like...
definitely don't like it.
Yeah.
I thought they've nominated a few before.
I don't think it was a shocker. To be honest, it just felt like a blind clean sweep for Oppenheimer.
To be honest, I think Nolan deserved it, and I think it's about damn time that he got his best director.
Is that Oscar. His first win?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I think for film and director, that's his first win.
Wow.
Which is, given the films that he's made, I think that's very bad that this is the first time.
Very, very briefly, do it, best picture. That does it. Oppenheimer, best picture, sound about right?
I mean, it was my favourite film of the year, so I can't really complain.
Probably has the best rewatch for scenes, I think, from what I found.
Killers wouldn't have been mad about it. Wouldn't have been mad about Past Lives. I really liked Past Lives.
I struggled with Past Lives. There were moments that really hung and left with me. But in terms of, I wouldn't be able to, I don't think I'd rewatch that and enjoy it a lot. I just, it was very effective, but only lingering.
I loved
Anatomy of a Fall as well, probably.
Yeah, Anatomy of the Fall. I loved Pacino reading out the winner. He's just like mumbling along. He's just like, my eyes see Oppenheimer.
You'll like the holdover. I suspect you both will like the holdovers a little bit more than me.
I think I will. I need to.
Because I think I like it.
I found myself being more aware of the trope. And that kind of ruined it for me earlier while I was watching it. Whereas if you are kind of, I think maybe recent stuff, I've seen so much more recent stuff, and the recent stuff is so Father Son heavy. You know, like the begrudging father figure, like the Joel from Last of Us. I feel like I'm seeing so much of that lately. It kind of got under my skin. Like, I don't know, a bit overused potentially. But I won't often sit on that for too long because, music. So
music.
There was the original song, original score.
Original score Oppenheimer. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
That song, I think, What Was I Made For is fair, but I wouldn't. I mean, I'm Just Ken would have been just as good for me.
Yeah, I'd have probably agree. Yeah. I think What Was I Made For was a really good. I don't think the lyrics were that mad. I felt the song itself was very good, though. Because I remember while I was watching the film, I was like, oh, shit, this is really emotional. And I don't know why.
I saw, apparently Billie Eilish has now won more Oscars than Martin Scorsese with that. Because she got one for...
Yeah.
22.
Yeah, she got one for No Time to Die as well, didn't she?
Yeah.
I think Martin Scorsese's got one. I mean, fair enough.
I suppose original songs are just like...
I think he won it for The Departed.
Okay.
Which, I mean, fantastic film, but out of all of his films, that's the one he won it for. Yeah.
I still like The Wolf of Wall Street the most. I think that's probably my most basic trait.
Oh, I don't know. I think Killers might be my favourite of his.
It's probably the most thorough. In terms of stuff, in terms of the research probably needed...
Yeah,
I think he's probably really trying to win an award with that one. That's what the sense I got.
Cape Fear probably sticks out in my head the most for Martin Scorsese, but that's mainly down to De Niro, I think, in that film.
That was very effective. I told you actually when we watched that, it's one of the first, well, not first films, but it's very rare that I find the last act to be the best.
Yeah,
usually I find build up more compelling. So that surprised me. But
now we should do the one everyone's been waiting for, and that is best documentary short film. I personally think the ABCs of Book Banning should have won, but The Last Repair Shop was obviously very good.
That's doing a bit.
That's on Disney Plus.
I haven't watched it. I haven't watched any of them. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I haven't even heard of any of these.
No. We could do live action short film. I mean, there's one film on there that I've seen.
And is it where Wes Anderson
and it won.
Yeah.
Oh, the Wonderful Story of Henry. I actually thought those Wes Anderson things were like, and I really like Wes Anderson stuff, but I found his short films way worse comparatively to all the other stuff.
I really like the short films.
I think I watched the French Dispatch afterwards, and I was like, because that was meant to be something where it was actually one of his more average ones, but it was very Wes Anderson. But it was supposed to be lesser than a lot of his other stuff. And I found that to be better than Henry Sugar.
Should we do some quick predictions for next year? Best picture, June 2. Best director, June 2. Actress in a supporting role, Rebecca Ferguson. Actor in a supporting role, Austin Butler.
Best score, June 2. Best sound, June 2. Best cinematography, June 2.
In all seriousness, what do you think he'll actually win for? If you were to
sound.
If you had to predict them, there's a gun to your head. You've got to predict every single one, definitely. Which ones would you actually go for?
I think cinematography. Cinematography, obviously. Yes.
Costume design.
Costume design, no. Probably.
No. If we're talking gun to our head, I think there's contenders, probably.
Did you see that chainmail head thing that Florence Pugh was wearing? That was cool.
Mate, you don't know what's coming out. You don't know what's coming out.
The cocoon on the big worm, Henry.
Yeah.
I think I could say with confidence now that sound will win.
I think cinematography. I think director is actually quite a fair shout. Obviously, we don't know what's going to come out in the next year.
Don't know.
I think director's good.
It felt like post production.
I could see Austin Butler
getting a shout.
Austin Butler. I think Austin Butler's probably the surest.
I think Rebecca Ferguson will probably get a nomination. Don't know if she'll win.
Yeah, she won't win.
I thought she was fantastic. I thought she was better in June 1.
She's good. She's good, but she won't win for that reason. Like, if she's worse than didn't show as much as the first one.
Yeah.
I don't think Zendaya had enough to do.
Production design.
Javier Bardem was very good in that film.
He was.
I don't know if he'll get a nomination, though.
Timothée Chalamet won't win. I actually don't think he'll get a nomination. No. And that's not even me with my gender. I genuinely just don't think
it's not a very Oscar performance. It's good, but it's not a very Oscar performance.
I did say, and I can't remember if I said that to you or elsewhere, but I thought Florence Pugh had the best screen presence. And she was only in it for about 2 minutes. Yeah, I just found... because I didn't really get the plot until I watched it again.
Yeah.
The only person that made me believe what was being said was Florence Pugh. And I don't know, Gara, if you're like really... Because you would have probably been well into it while you're watching it, Tom, for instance. You'd have probably seen it a bit differently. But because I was kind of struggling to get my head around it, I got more clarity from someone like Florence Pugh.
That's fair. I think in terms of screen presence, Austin Butler was like above the rest of them.
Yeah, but then I also think that was post-production. That was the black and white. That was the makeup and everything.
But it was his performance, the black teeth. I think. His performance and his
design
voice
was good.
Guys, I need to go very soon.
No worries, mate.
So,
It will definitely win Best Visual Effects.
Yes. Oh, yes. Yeah, I forgot about it. Why did I forget about that? I was talking about sound. What was the other one? I was thinking about all the
cinematography.
Sensory stuff. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, well, thanks for coming back to the Bring Mitt podcast. It's been lovely to be back.
It has been.
32 minutes. I reckon you could probably get your head around that one, guys. You could probably watch the whole thing.
Let's hope.
So, anyway, ciao. Bye.
Bye. Ciao.